Hey, what's up? Hello, future casters. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Past, Present, Future Cast. My name is Maria Elena. I am your host and tarot guide. And before we jump into this week's interview, let's answer a listener question. This listener asks, I'm feeling disconnected from my deck, practice, and spirituality lately. Do you have any tips? And yes, absolutely, I do. First of all, you're not alone in this experience. I've been working with tarot for 15 years, but boy oh boy, have there been breaks. Sometimes those breaks are inviting me to learn something new or to pick up a different practice, and sometimes those breaks are just encouraging me to take a dang break. When we feel disconnected from our spirituality as a whole, something that I think it's important to remember is that we, in our bodies and our spirits, like us ourselves, are the home and the root for our spiritual practice. No deck, no ritual, no quote unquote practice, like active action that you're taking, is your spirituality, is your spiritual practice. Like, yes, we use that word because it is a practice. It's something that we actively practice and actively enact in our lives. But that can be as simple as how you live out your values and how you embrace being a human in a body, having a human experience. You don't need to be astral projecting every night, reading, you know, pulling a tarot card for yourself every morning, doing a full spread every month, honoring every single point in the year as the wheel turns. You don't have to do all of that. Sometimes just living joyfully as a human being and honoring your fellow human beings who are also spirits in bodies having a human experience is truly enough. So I think it can be really easy to kind of get down on ourselves or feel like we're fake or some kind of fraud in our spiritual practice if we're not constantly engaging in elaborate ritual. But that's just like the Instagramification of spirituality, and we don't really need to concern ourselves with that. If you are wanting to get back into your practice a little bit or be inspired to step back onto your spiritual path or onto a more active phase of your journey, I would recommend picking up some books. Like doing some reading can be a nice way to be inspired again. So here's a few of my recommendations. The first is called Waking the Witch by Pam Grossman. And I'm excited to mention this book to you. It's one that I've read and have enjoyed, but it's appropriate to this episode because our interview that's upcoming is with Tess Trainer, who is the founder of The Witch Summit, which is going to be a very cool event happening in Phoenix, Arizona in October of this year. And the keynote speaker for this event is Pam Grossman, author of Waking the Witch. So that's a wonderful book that goes into some details about the archetype of the witch and how they've shown up throughout our history and pop culture. And then there's another book that I would recommend called Initiated, Memoir of a Witch by Amanda Yates Garcia. This is a lovely first-person memoir talking about Garcia's experience becoming a witch. But if you don't want to go too literal and just read some books about witchcraft and the archetype of the witch, if you want to bring it back to that observation of nature that I discussed in last week's episode, I will once again recommend Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. That is a wonderful book that does not necessarily address spirituality and spiritual practice, but it does absolutely dive into the magic that exists in nature around us and how we can honor that and that, again, is really what I feel like is the foundation of a solid spiritual practice, is living in harmony with nature around us. So I hope this answered your question, dear listener. And if you or anyone else listening has any other questions, please email them to me at persephonichealing@gmail.com, or you can submit them via the contact form on my website, persephonictarot.com, or you can always DM me on Instagram at persephonic777. And lastly, before we dive into this week's episode, I just want to mention that my books are open for tarot and astrology readings. I'm really excited about my new and full moon offering called Moon Readings. You can read more about that on my website. All of the links are going to be in the show notes, persephonictarot.com. Now, without further ado, let's get into our interview with Tess Trainer. All right. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us for this reading slash interview. I'm here with Tess Trainer. Tess is a professional tarot reader, creator of The Little Deck of Darkness, and the founder of The Witch Summit. Tess, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited to talk about your plans for the Witch Summit, what you're brewing up for this very new and exciting event coming to Phoenix. But first, I'd love to talk about how your practice as a tarot reader has kind of grown and evolved over the years. So can you tell me a little bit about the origins of your tarot practice?
Yeah, when I first started reading tarot, it was just a personal practice. I never thought I would read it professional or for other people at all. I found a used deck at a bookstore and started reading for myself. It was a time when I felt really lost and was just looking for some answers. So I picked up a deck and started using it. And then after a few years with my business, I decided to offer digital readings because it was during COVID. So I was like, this is an easy way for me to kind of dip my toe in and not feel so overwhelmed with offering readings. And I started doing that for like 2 years, just doing digital readings. And I really enjoyed doing that. I got a lot of positive feedback doing that, and it morphed into in-person readings because I had a lot of people ask me to do in-person readings, and I just forced myself to get out of the comfort zone and do it. And I actually loved doing in-person readings way more than doing it digital, which I didn't expect. I was so scared the first time I did readings in person. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I don't know enough to be doing readings in person, you know? But it just like helped me grow and helped me trust in my intuition even more, because the more I gave readings, the more I realized that I actually didn't know what I was doing. I just almost needed that verification from other people, especially strangers. It helps so much when you don't know someone and you're reading for them and they're like, this is so accurate. This helps me so much. And you're like, oh, okay. I actually know what I'm talking about. And it helps to be reminded of that sometimes. I think a lot of times people don't do or like step out of their comfort zone because they are so afraid that someone's going to call them out, or they're just afraid of putting themselves out there. But sometimes when you do put yourself out there, you'll realize that you know a lot more than you think you do.
Yeah, I really relate to that experience of starting reading, offering readings during the pandemic, because that was a time when a lot of us needed, one, we just needed a side hustle. And that feels like maybe bad to say, but it's something that we could offer and that we had skills in. But also, there was so much time spent alone. I think so many of us really deepened our connection to our intuition and our connection to spirit during that time in isolation. But also, this aspect of once you start offering readings to other people, that really growing your intuition from the positive feedback and from just working that muscle, like just using that skill and practicing over and over again. That's almost to a T exactly how I started reading as well. So I know it's, I know that's, I've heard that story from a few other people. And it's just a beautiful one. We all kind of like, it almost sounds too wooey to say, but there was like an awakening around COVID for all the horrible things that happened and consequences we're still facing. A lot of folks really were made aware of aspects of the path that they were supposed to walk down. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because during the pandemic was like when I did the best with my business, like financially and everything. And I think it's because so many people during that time were looking for that comfort and that support and outside of just like themselves and, you know, the church, they were looking for something else. They wanted to feel empowered when there's so much chaos happening in the world. People want to feel empowered in themselves and like they can make a change. And I feel like we even see that today with people being interested in witchcraft and all that stuff. And it's still continuing to build and grow. I think that like a lot of women are getting more into it because it's powerful and it's empowering. And it's not saying that you have to give your power to someone else in order to feel better. It's saying like you are the powerful one and you have to trust yourself in order to grow. And I think that resonates with a lot of people, and especially in times like that when it's like so much uncertainty.
Your business, can you explain a little bit about what this business is? What were you doing before you started reading tarot?
Before I started reading tarot, I was making intentional products. So I made like candles, ritual oils, sprays, and they all had a certain intention behind them. They were like infused with crystals and made with essential oils. They were all natural. And I did that for about 6 years. 6 or 7 years where I was just making products, and then I brought in the reading along with making products. But it was really successful. Like I was doing a lot of wholesale, retail markets. But if anyone's ever made products or done the market scene, then you know it's very hard and it's kind of wears you down, you know? So after like 7 years of doing that, I just wasn't interested in doing it anymore. It didn't bring me joy like it did in the beginning. I wasn't like feeling fulfilled or creative. Like I used to love coming up with product ideas and like the photos and the marketing aspect and all of it. Used to really make me so happy and just creative, but I lost that. So I sold everything, got rid of everything, and then was just trying to figure out what was next.
A tale that I too have told. I made similar products, like intentional infused oils and bath soaks was like my thing. I did it in the other order, where I think I started reading first and then started making products afterwards. But it is so fun when you're inspired by it. And it is also a lot of work. And that market scene especially is a lot of work for sure. What was one of your favorite products that you made?
Probably my money ritual candle, because so many people loved it. And it was just like, it was green and it was cute. It was also really easy to make and everyone loved it. So that one, or my oh my god, I totally forgot the name of it, but it was another ritual candle and I just loved the smell of it. It was like leather and apple, which sounds really weird, but the smell was like one of my favorites. So those two were definitely my favorite.
Leather and apple sounds so yummy. I like that. Okay, so you were making products, you had your own business, and then you picked up a used tarot deck and started diving into that journey. What for you, when you started working with tarot personally, like, what were the biggest impacts you noticed, or what was kind of like the result for you from doing these personal readings?
I think there were so many things, but for me, it was just like seeing how much it helped other people and how like you could connect with the complete stranger in like 5 seconds just by giving them a reading. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter like who that person was or what their beliefs were or anything like that. Cause I've read for like so many different types of people. And it's just like giving people readings, all that goes away. And having people cry or feel better or feel relief because you just validated what they were feeling or gave them the closure they needed. There's really, it's like therapy, but really intense, quick therapy for people looking for something more. And sometimes it's just something fun, you know, if you're doing it at a market and people are like, oh, whatever, I don't believe in this. But then they'll sit down and they'll be the ones that start crying and get the most like in-depth reading that they didn't expect or didn't believe in. And I think those ones probably mean the most because it's people who are like, whatever about it. And then they are hit the hardest by it.
Your personal work with tarot and reading for yourself, have you found any personal healing through that? How has that impacted like your own journey?
So much. I feel like it helped me trust my own decisions so much more, just trust myself, trust my gut feelings, everything, you know. It sent me down a healing journey in general, like going to therapy, reading every day, like reading cards every day, and trusting my intuition, getting more into ritual work and spell work and creating more self-care routines for myself. It just really helped me focus on like the bigger picture, but also like the small steps that affect the bigger picture altogether too.
So you feel like starting to work with the cards kind of helped put you on a more complete path to finding other avenues for healing? Like you mentioned, you started going to therapy and started getting more into things like witchcraft and other elements that you could bring all together to be supportive of you and your wellness. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I feel like once you start reading, you kind of realize that everything affects everything. Like you can't be unhealthy physically or mentally and then reach your goal. Like you have to be balanced all around, like physically, mentally, spiritually. You have to be well-rounded in everything, even though it's hard to do and it takes a lot of work. Like you have to put time into all of those aspects in order to really achieve and reach that goal and be like grateful and happy when you reach that goal and not completely burnt out to the point where you're like, I don't really care about this goal anymore because I'm just exhausted.
Yeah, if you get to the peak and you collapse, it's like, well, what was the point of getting there anyway? So looking at the cards that have come up for this, I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying reflected in these cards. The first one that I flipped over, and I'll mention before we get into the cards that today I'm working with the Modern Witch Tarot deck. I don't work with this deck a ton. It's one that just kind of like fell into my collection with really no rhyme or reason. But I was thinking about the Witch Summit and how this is this like moment for modern witches to all come together. And we'll get there. We'll talk about that. But I thought this was a really lovely, lovely deck to kind of symbolically represent what you're working on right now. So the cards coming up for your past and kind of this journey to where you're at now is first the Nine of Swords, which it makes sense that you picked up a tarot deck, right? If there was a period of time where there's some overwhelm, where there's some mental anguish, where there's some things that needed to be healed and a healing path opening in front of you for you to step on, you know, there's things that needed to be worked out and analyzed and put into kind of forms of communication. I think working with tarot is such a great way for our unconscious or subconscious self to speak to the conscious self. It's a great way to open that dialogue, not just with your spirit team and other like angels and entities around you, but just with yourself, with your highest self. Folks who don't necessarily resonate with the concept of spirits or gods or deities or angels or anything like that, I think tarot can even be a fantastic tool for them, thinking about it in terms of dialoguing with yourself. So we have two swords cards coming up here. We have two swords coming up here, which to me is really speaking to this like communicative aspect. And you talked a lot about how sitting down with someone else and having that dialogue between the reader and the client and the reader and the client and the cards, all of that together is I feel like speaking really loudly here. And then, and I'll have you comment on the Nine of Swords in a minute, but we also have the Page of Swords coming up at the same time, showing that this was like really the start of a new journey for you, the start of something that was going to grow into something much, much bigger, which as we know now, you have your own deck out. You're putting together this whole conference. You have your own personal practice. So while in the past, when you first picked this up, you were at that early phase, that learner's phase, that those beginning stages, we know that that's grown much more from then. How do you feel about those cards? As a reader yourself, how do you interpret those cards?
I think that's pretty accurate. The Nine of Swords, yeah, that's definitely the headspace I was probably in when I picked up that deck in the past. And like I said, it was just like looking for some answers, some reassurance. I guess when I first picked it up, looking for like, how do I get out of this space? You know what I mean? Or like, is this going to get better in the future? And so that Nine of Swords is definitely where I was in the past, but then it slowly got to, like you said, where I became more knowledgeable about it, felt more confident about it, because that's also something that really takes, you have to build up your confidence in order to sit in front of someone and read for them and tell them things that you don't know if they're going to be okay with or they're going to agree with. So I feel like that also helped with doing readings, was like that helped me build up my confidence in general too. So that's something that I think just doing readings helped with my confidence, helped with my intuition, helped with my growth. So picking up that deck for me changed a lot in my life.
Another thing that I think of with that Nine of Swords is talking about how this all started for you during the pandemic. And when I'm talking about nines, a lot of times nines are this peak intensity point, but they're also a phase of isolation. All of the nines are kind of like, it's single figures on the card. They're isolated on the card. There's not other community around. So being in that kind of space of being physically distant with other people, but then with the Page of Swords, having that like communication aspect to be able to like mentally and emotionally show up for others, even though we were all kind of in this isolated space.
Yeah, I think it's very accurate to what was happening.
So I want to hear about your deck. And when did you start working on that? How did that come about? And is it a traditional tarot deck or more of an oracle style deck?
So the deck is an oracle deck, but it kind of looks more like a tarot deck because I wanted it to look like tarot cards, but I did not want to get into all of the tarot cards and design all of those because my original idea was
78 cards is
a lot. And my idea was like, I want it to be more like the shadow self, like a shadow work deck, and doing 78 cards of just shadow work would be a lot. So I decided to do an oracle deck, and I really wanted to do something that was like shadow work inspired, a darker deck, because most oracle decks, not all of them, but a lot of them are like angel decks, you know, love and light type decks, super like happy and uplifting decks, or like angel numbers, animal oracle decks. So I wanted to do something different. And I love the idea of like taking like horror movies or like mythology and using silhouettes of like females and doing that as the deck and the idea behind the deck. And then in the actual booklet, it would be these like deep meanings behind the cards, but the art itself would be like very almost like poppy, you know, pinup style horror themed portraits. And I found this artist, she's actually in Tucson, and I, her work was like, she picked it right out of my head. I described it to her and she would like draw these amazing images that were exactly what I wanted. And it just worked out perfectly. I found this great company that was able to print the cards wholesale through a friend that also made her own deck. So she was able to get me in contact with them. And it all just kind of synced up based on like everything that I had done with like reading and then meeting these people. So they were able to help me with creating my own deck. And it's just something that I really felt inspired to do and decided to just go for it, because that's how I make a lot of my decisions. And yeah, I'm super happy with how it turned out.
Did you read for yourself in trying to decide if you were going to pursue this project? Like, did you turn to the cards to ask about any part of the deck creation?
I always turn to the cards with like business decisions and like, is this going to work out? Is this a good idea? And I can't remember exactly what the deck said or what the spread was, but I usually take the advice of the deck. So I'm assuming it was a good sign. I also find it really hard to read for myself, though. So, like, I'll do readings for big decisions just to make sure. And, like, every, like, few months I'll, like, do, like, a month ahead or, like, a year ahead type reading. But I don't like to read for myself too often, because I feel like reading for yourself can sometimes be skewed, because you kind of know, like, how you want it to turn out and everything. So I don't read for myself like as often as people probably expect, because to me it's hard, especially since I'm so used to reading for strangers where you have like no background information whatsoever.
I also relate to that. I think I read a lot for myself when I was first starting to work with tarot and I was starting to learn the cards. I would read for myself all the time with like really impactful readings. But as I got into it as a professional practice, it started to taper off how often I read for myself. These days, I tend to turn towards astrology and looking at my natal charts and my transits if I'm trying to check in on myself personally. What tools do you tend to go to for your own personal practice more so than tarot, if there is anything?
I still will pull a card every day just to like keep that up. But I also really like astrology. I don't read astrology. That's not something that I ever attempted to do or get into. However, before I set any dates for the event, I had a friend who reads astrology. And I was like, I need to know if these dates are okay and like the transits and everything like that. So I get astrology readings a lot, and I do find that super helpful, like personally. So astrology is a big thing for me. I like to do a daily pull. And then recently I got into dowsing rods, and that has been fun for me. I've been doing that lately. So that's something different that I feel like I can do more myself. That's a little bit like different than tarot, where there's less like, oh, I don't know if I'm skewing these answers.
What do you use dowsing rods for? I'm like a pendulum girly, so I get the like having a physical tool that moves or guides you in ways, but I'm not necessarily super familiar with using dowsing rods personally. What do you use them for?
So dowsing rods are basically the same thing as a pendulum, because I also would do pendulums before I got the dowsing rods, but I felt like a pendulum was kind of hard because, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, well, I mean, it takes so long for it to like reach its point. So the dowsing rods are the same thing, but you're just like holding it when you ask the questions, just like with a pendulum. Like any question you would ask a pendulum, you could basically do with the dowsing rods, but it's only like yes or no questions.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. It makes perfect sense to me that you would consult an astrologer before landing on dates for the Witch Summit. I elect the heck out of my life. I love looking at the astrology before picking dates for things. But I've also found that it works really well in the reverse sometimes. For example, Rose, Tarot by Rose 333, she'll be a reader at the Witch Summit for anyone listening. Her and I were landing on a date for an event that we're hosting in January, and we picked the date, and then I looked at the astrology afterwards just because it was the only date that was going to work, so I wasn't going to stress myself trying to look at the astrology beforehand. And then once we looked, I was like, oh, it's perfect. It's exactly what we needed it to be. Yeah, it is always good to check the skies for a major event like the Witch Summit with so many people involved, so many moving parts. I wouldn't dare land on a date without looking at the cosmos first.
It's so funny, too, because everything she told me would happen has happened. So the first, when I was like, I'm going to launch the website this day, like, what do you see happening around there? She's like, something you're really set on, you'll have to change. Like, you really, really want is going to have to change. And then, like, all this stuff happened. Don't really need to rehash it. But anyways, I had to change the name. So that was like the first
thing. I remember that. There were some major changes that had to happen.
There were some major issues when I first did the website and announced everything, which like she told me was going to happen. So I was like, okay, she kind of already told me that was going to happen. So, and then closer to the date, she was like, I would have a plan B for like speakers or workshops because something might happen with that. And I just the other day had someone drop out for a workshop. But luckily, I did have a plan B. So like we already got that filled and we're good. But I was like, that's so funny. Literally the two things she said were going to happen just happened. So like I kind of was prepared for it, even though you can't be totally prepared because you don't know exactly what's going to happen. But it did help me out. So I wasn't completely disappointed.
See, and that's the benefit of just having a little bit of foresight, just that little extra bit of, okay, I'm prepared for something to go wrong in this way is so useful. So currently, right now, are you offering services? Are you offering readings publicly?
I will if there's like an event that someone asked me to read at, but I don't have anything on the schedule right now, and it's not really my focus currently. My focus is the event, you know, because there's so many moving pieces with that and everything, but I'm not like against reading. I'm just not really offering the digital reading anymore or looking for markets and trying to like do that full time. It's more so if an opportunity pops up, I'll be happy to read for someone, but I'm not doing that full time.
So your energy and attention, you'd say, is mostly focused on the summit right now, the conference coming up.
Yeah. When I stopped doing my products, there was like an in-between stage for probably a few months where I realized when I was doing the products near the end, because I was like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I was like, kind of overwhelming myself with all these things I was trying to take on. And so I was like, maybe I'll be like a coach, like a spiritual slash business coach, because so many people would come to me about like website and social media and things like that. And then I also had the podcast at the time too. And then I had just come out with the deck. So I was like, just keep piling it on basically. And after I got rid of the products, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like the coaching didn't fulfill me in the way that I thought it was going to. So I took a break from that. And I was like, I'll just keep doing readings and then focus on the deck. But it wasn't like enough to where I felt like I could just live off of that and make it a full-time thing. And I still felt like there was something else I needed to do, but I wasn't sure what that was yet. And I always had this idea for the event, but I always felt like it was out of reach. And like, I had to wait until I could do it. Like I had to wait like 5 years into the future until I had more of a following, or like I had more of a savings, or just all these reasons why I was like, I need to be more secure just all around before I start this event. And so I never even considered it until I was talking with my friend one day, and she was like, why are you waiting? She's like, what are you waiting for, basically? And then I was like, I guess I don't know what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for a sign, but maybe this is my sign that I need, that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm truly passionate about. So I need to just make the leap and do it.
What are your biggest concerns and like fears around being the person to start an event like this? Because I imagine in that waiting process, you're telling yourself all these reasons why you can't do it yet. So what were some of those reasons you were giving yourself?
One of the concerns is the same thing with like reading for people in person, is people are going to be like, well, why would you start this event? You don't know enough, or you haven't been doing it for long enough, and all of those things. But to me, I'm like, first of all, I'm not speaking. And second of all, anyone could say that about anything. You know what I mean? And I am going to try. And that's all that matters, is that you're trying. And the other thing that held me back probably was like the finances of it, because I always thought in my head, like, I'll need someone to invest in it. I don't know if anyone's ever put together an event or anything, but it is very expensive. And when people look at the tickets and stuff, I know they're like wanting it to be $100 or something along that for a VIP ticket. But when you take into consideration the venue and paying for the speakers' travel and everything that goes into it, and wanting to make the event as successful and like beautiful as possible, it's a lot. So I always thought, because I don't like doing things like half-assed, you know, I don't want to just put on like a little tiny thing and start small. I want it to be my vision. I want it to be what I want it to be. And so I knew it was going to cost a lot of money. So I was like, I don't know if I can do it on my own. I think I'm going to need an investor. And that's why I didn't do it for a really long time, because I was like, I just am really unsure about this. Until I really sat down and broke it down and then, you know, did all of the math and the calculations. And I was like, I can do this. It's realistic. I can be realistic about this. And I can do it by myself. I've done everything business-wise by myself. So why should this be any different?
Yeah, once you actually crunch those numbers, things become a little bit more feasible sometimes. So you mentioned the tickets and ticket prices, maybe people balking at it a little bit. But share a little bit about what value you think folks are going to get out of attending this event.
people will gain so much education, but also just community from attending this. And it, I know a lot of events are digital and there's similar things where it's all digital, but to me, that's so disconnected and hard to engage with people when it's, you know, online like this, because you're not really face to face. You can't really have like side conversations with someone if you want to, or ask questions if you want to. So to me, it was really important to have it in person so people could have these workshops and have them be hands-on, where they could talk to the teacher and ask questions and actually do the rituals in person and see if there's anything that they need to work on, or that, you know, the teacher could offer them advice, and also to get different practices so that people can learn all different types of witchcraft, and it doesn't just have to be like tarot cards and astrology. I don't even think we have an astrology workshop or a tarot workshop, because I wanted it to be so unique for people to experience different types than what's normally offered at like a new age store. So even if you're a practiced witch or you're a newbie to it, you'll all have something to gain from the experience. And even the speakers are speaking on completely different topics than the workshops. The meet and greets, you'll get to talk to the authors that wrote these books about topics from all different things. You'll get to get your book signed, take pictures with them. I mean, really, whatever you want to do. And then most of them will also be attending the Bewitching Ball that night. So you get to dance and mingle and talk to these experts that probably seem so far removed online and on social media, but they'll be there in person. And they're really just normal people that you can hang out with and start building that community.
That's awesome. I think about how in the astrology world, there's major conferences that happen every year, every 3 years, every 5 years, things like that. And it's one of the reasons why the field of astrology has become so professionalized and so diverse and so just massive, and people getting to like intermingle and connect. And I think that's exactly like one of the best things about the Witch Summit, is that it is going to be in person and there will be an opportunity to folks to engage and interact with each other. I know I'm super excited that you have Pam Grossman on the lineup. She's the host of The Witch Wave, which was one of my favorite podcasts years ago. I used to listen like really religiously, and it was one of the reasons why I wanted to start a podcast myself. So I believe also Marcella Kroll is one of the speakers. Marcella, friend of the pod, she was on a couple episodes ago. So there's some really awesome names that are showing up, people who have a ton of experience, have written incredible books, made incredible decks, and who are there to share their knowledge. So there's so much to be gained. And of course, the ball. Like, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is us getting together to party and dance and shake it out, because that's how you build true community, right?
Yeah, I'm so excited about the ball, because I wanted, obviously, during the day, it's going to be a little bit more serious. Not that it's not going to be fun, but you're there to learn and, you know, take notes or however people want to gain their education. But I still wanted to continue building on that community idea and give people a chance to just have fun and connect with each other. And so I wanted to have this ball at night so people could really just like have a good time, connect, take photos, just be themselves, get dressed up, and have that chance to really just on their own time connect, talk. We'll still have some readers at the ball too, some readers, some vendors. So you'll get a chance, if you don't get a chance during the day, to get a reading. And then I just did a taste testing for the cocktails the other day, And we're going to have these like amazing specialty cocktails for people that are all based on tarot cards. And it's just going to be such a great, like, witchy time.
So much fun. So much fun. So before we, you know, continue maybe talking about the future of the Witch Summit, this is upcoming. When this is happening in October, correct?
Yep, October 4th.
October 4th. But we were previously talking about how you were in this, like, waiting stage of wanting to create something like this. And when we think about it, like, of course, it's starting to be materialized at this moment, but you're still kind of in that phase, that period before it's actually happened. The first event has happened, you know. This time next year, you'll be, the Witch Summit will already have materialized, and maybe you'll be planning for another one. But right now, it hasn't actually occurred yet. So I thought it was really interesting how much we used the term like waiting or pause or like just not wanting to do it yet, because the two cards that came up here for the present moment are the Hanged One, the Sacred Pause, of course, and the Four of Swords reversed. So these two together are very much cards that speak to like, give it a pause, give it a rest, hang tight. I like the Four of Swords coming up reversed because it's a little bit like, yeah, you were in that sacred pause, that sacred waiting. You're still kind of in that pause. Again, it hasn't happened yet. You're still learning a ton. So much about the Hanged One is about having to learn and grow and gain the knowledge with it before the thing really happens, to be able to use that knowledge down the line. But then the Four of Wands being more in that reverse position is like, yeah, you kind of did like get up and do it. You're putting a little bit more of that knowledge into action at this point, and there's still learning, there's still growing to happen, but there's a little bit more momentum there than if it was just the Four of Swords straight up, you know.
Yeah.
How does the Hanged One in particular sit with you in this moment?
I think it's very accurate. Like I said, I was kind of in that in-between stage of the coaching thing isn't really fulfilling me, but I don't know where else to go from here. And if I didn't have that conversation with my friend, I don't know if I would have taken that leap. And I think that's something that's so interesting, is how one conversation or one thing can impact your path in what you decide to do. And I really felt stuck, and that was the main energy. I think I even got an astrology reading at around that time where I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I need some guidance because I just feel stuck. Like, what am I doing, you know? And I remember her saying in the astrology reading that she was like, you are supposed to be around a bunch of people or doing something with like a big community. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And now it like all makes sense. But yeah, it was very much a period of like just a big pause and feeling like unsure of what path to go down.
Do you feel a little bit more confident now? Are you still a little like, oh, it hasn't happened yet? Like, can I actually do this?
I feel a lot more confident now. And it's funny, like with the Four of Swords, because usually when I do like business ventures, I'm very like, this has to happen at this point, and this has to happen, and kind of like, it has to happen fast. You know what I mean? Like almost putting so much pressure on myself that like, I need these deadlines to happen when I need them to happen. And this time around with this summit, I've been really calm about everything, which to me is a good sign, because that's normally not how I feel at all about anything when it comes to business. But with this, like, I have like small goals until I can move on to the next step, because otherwise I would just be so overwhelmed. And I just am like working towards that, but I don't really have a set deadline. Obviously, things have to happen at a certain point, but I'm not like putting so much pressure on myself to get everything done at a certain time. Otherwise, it's never going to happen or it's never going to work out like I would feel in the past. And if things fall through, then I'm like, okay, cool. I already have this next idea. And I don't feel like it's a huge red flag or not going to happen. Like with the workshop or people not being able to attend or something like that. I feel like I've learned a lot about pivoting and how important it is to be able to pivot in business. And that has helped me a lot with this event. And being able to remain calm makes me feel confident that this is going to work out.
It's a big change from the Nine of Swords in the past to the Four of Swords in the present. You could certainly see some similarities between these cards, but the Nine of Swords is so anxious and freaked out and like overwhelmed with those swords, overwhelmed with those thoughts. And the Four of Swords is much more calm, meditative, like not allowing the mind to race, taking it all in, a manageable amount of swords. Four is so much more manageable than nine. A much more manageable amount of swords and ideas and thoughts, and just taking it a little slower rather than like the racing of the nine. So I hear exactly what you're saying, reflected in these cards. So it hasn't happened yet. It's upcoming, but let's talk about, that's kind of the future. The future is the Witch Summit. What are you most looking forward to? I know we talked about the ball, but even beyond October 4th, you know, would you like to have this happen again? Do you already have ideas for how you'd want to do things differently in the future? What's your thoughts going forward?
I think I'm most looking forward to for this upcoming one, just the reaction from people, hearing the feedback, and just seeing my vision like come to life, because that's gonna be the most amazing part about all of it. Like putting in all of this work, having had this idea and this vision for so long, and seeing it the day of will probably just be the most amazing thing and what I'm looking forward to. I know the day of is going to be so much work for me, but I can't wait to see it happen. And I hope it's everything that I imagine it's going to be. And so far it has been. When we saw the venue, I had this vision in my mind of what I wanted the venue to be, because I didn't want it to be like a conference, like in a hotel or in a conference space, because I wanted it to feel magical. I wanted it to feel elegant. I wanted it to be this uplifted event where it was more high end than just like attending a conference in a hotel. And it's, you know, whatever. I wanted it to be an experience for people that are going to it. And I had this like idea of like, oh, this amazing venue that was like kind of whimsical, but also elegant at the same time. And then when we toured Warehouse 215, I was like, this is exactly what I was picturing, with the exposed brick and the chandeliers. And it felt like whimsical and kind of like nature inspired, but also elegant with the chandeliers. And I was like, this is exactly what I wanted. So I hope it continues to be that way. And the day of, it'll be just like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's exactly what I pictured. But other than the day of, in the future, I really hope it continues to be a yearly event. And other than that, I see like creating other immersive experiences around holidays or just witchcraft in general throughout the year. And then the Witch Summit would be like a big yearly event that would happen.
I think there's a huge market for that in Phoenix. I think there's a yearning, a desire, a hole that needs to be filled, a niche that needs to be filled. So I hope that absolutely continues for you. Now I can see all of the cards that we've pulled. You can't, Tess, but I can. And so we've had quite the progression. We started off the past. The Page of Swords was exciting, but of course we have that Nine of Swords in there, giving a little bit of a more stressful vibe. Moving into the Hanged One and the Four of Swords, neutral. Like, these aren't always everyone's favorite to have come up in a reading. There's so much wisdom to be gained from them, but it's not like a clear, like, yeah, you go, girl, you're rocking it sign. But then we move into the future. And the two cards that have come up here bring a totally different vibe and I think are hearkening really positively towards what's upcoming for you. So first, we have the Page of Cups. So I love seeing the Page of Swords from the past evolve into the Page of Cups in the future, especially as we're talking about a desire to bring people together in person, forge connections, forge community. Where the Page of Swords was the beginning of a personal journey for you to develop your craft, develop your skills, learn about tarot, learn how to infuse that into your life, learn how to use it to help clients communicate with themselves and find their kind of like desires and their path. That growing into the Page of Cups and having this being a moment where you're at the beginning of a new phase, a new cycle of bringing people together, more community-focused actions, things focused a little bit more, maybe even on like the deeper intuitive spiritual side. Like the Page of Swords is a little more heady. It's a little more in the mind, a little more in the intellect, a little more about learning, whereas the Page of Cups is a little bit more about feeling and healing on like a deeper level. But then that's paired with, drumroll please, the Star. We have the Star coming up for the future. So I think that's a very positive omen for what the Witch Summit is to be. The Star is probably my favorite major arcana card out of all of them. It's so much about healing and connectedness and divine inspiration, creating from a place that's so truly and purely connected to source. It's just such a beautiful card. And with its connection to Aquarius as well, thinking about the fact that this is something new. This is something that Phoenix, Tucson, Arizona hasn't seen before. You know, we have a lot going on in Tucson here. We have a lot going on in terms of the metaphysical community. We have a lot going on in Arizona in general with Sedona. But this kind of conference focused on learning and sharing and community building is really new to this area. It's kind of new to the niche of like witchcraft in general. You know, I mentioned the astrology conferences, but this is so much more broadly focused. So having the sign, the card associated with Aquarius, it's really like bringing us into that new age, bringing us into something outside of the structure that's already existed. So I love seeing both of those cards show up for the future. How are you feeling about them?
I love that. And what's funny is when I've done readings for the summit, the Star does come up a lot for me. So I am excited that that shows as the future and the outcome, because I also really like the Star. It's kind of like that joyful energy, that happiness, you know, like you said, that healing. And I think that's a really good sign all around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if people want to join in on this joyful, healing, connected, beautiful day that you have planned in October of 2025, where can they find tickets? Where can they learn more about the Witch Summit, learn about the speakers that are coming, the workshops that are being offered, and maybe learn a little bit more about you and your deck and your work, Tess?
They can find all the tickets, all the information on thewitchsummit.com. And they can follow the Witch Summit on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, where we post all the information there as well, and like behind the scenes stuff. And you can get to know me better on there as well. Or if you have any specific questions, you can always DM me on Instagram or send us an email, and we are happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Awesome. So check out thewitchsummit.com or the Witch Summit on any social media platform. Grab your tickets. I will be there. Come say hi. I'm going to be assisting dear friend Rose, Tarot by Rose 333. I'm going to be her assistant for that day. Rose has assisted me at many an event. We've done Witchcrafted together when she's always been my assistant. And I said it's time for me to return the favor and be the support person for her this time. So come say hi, find out more about the podcast, about the retreat that Rose and I are hosting. Come check out, say hi to Marcella. You can listen to her interview a few episodes back. She'll be speaking at the Witch Summit. And all in all, it's going to be a pretty cool, exciting, wonderful day in Phoenix. And since it's in Phoenix in October, the weather will probably be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that, because we also are going to have the marketplace where people can get readings from Rose and other vendors and shop other vendors. And that is going to be open to the public. So if people don't want to attend the summit or see the speakers, they can still come and shop or get a reading and not have to get a ticket to the summit. So everyone is welcome to come to the marketplace, eat from the food trucks, and still experience some of the magic that'll be happening that day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So free to join the marketplace. Definitely. You have no excuse then to not come and say hi, but I highly recommend that you get a ticket to the summit itself and discover everything that's going to be going on there. And then, of course, go party at the ball. So any final thoughts, Tess?
I don't think so. I think that was a great reading, very accurate. And I'm just so excited to have you attending the summit and to meet you in person. And I hope everyone else can make it.
All right. Well, thank you so much to our listeners who have joined us today. Make sure you go check out the Witch Summit in the links posted in the show notes. And as always, happy shuffling.